Now, it's hard to imagine today, but there was a time when Israel and Iran were allies. In fact, they were close partners, sharing intelligence, agriculture, technology, and trade. At the heart of a growing call to restore that friendship is the Cyrus Accords, a vision for renewed ties between the two nations, named after Cyrus the Great, the ancient Persian king who freed the Jews from Babylon and helped rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Iranian-American journalist Carmel Melamed has been one of the strongest voices advocating for this future peace. He spoke about it at an interfaith event in Virginia in December 2024, where Iranians and Israelis came together in a rare moment of solidarity. And he joins us now on the line from the United States to explain what the Cyrus Accords are and why they matter. Carmel, thank you so much for chatting with us on The Home Run. Perhaps a good place to start is if you could just explain what are the Cyrus Accords and why do they matter now?
Hi, Paula. Thank you for having me on your show. The Cyrus Accords are really the future peace proposal, the permanent peace proposal between Iran and the State of Israel. To have full normalization between the two countries, economic activity, military activity, academic exchanges, cultural exchanges, entertainment, technology, full relations similar to what we had with the Abraham Accords. But this would be between future Iran without the Ayatollahs and the State of Israel.
How did Israel and Iran collaborate in agriculture, water, and technology under the Shah?
Well, a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that Iran and Israel had great relations prior to the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. In fact, the late Shah had de facto relations with Israel, and the turning point in my opinion, for the agricultural water activity between the two countries occurred in 1962. There was a horrific earthquake in the province of Ghazvin in Iran. Thousands were killed, homes were destroyed. It was a massive devastation. One of the first countries to send medical aid, another kind of aid, was Israel. And 1962, Israel was a pretty young country. It's a 15-year-old country, very small. And for them to offer their technology and know-how as far as water and reconstruction really turned heads in Iran. And the late Shah gave an opportunity to some Israeli companies to help rebuild parts of Ghazvin. During that rebuilding process, Israeli engineers dug very deep water holes in the region of Ghazvin. Israelis are very well known for digging deep water wells in the Negev region and in the desert regions of Israel and finding water. Well, they did the same in Ghazvin, and it was a shock to the Shah. It was a shock to Iranians that whole region that had been basically desert for 500 years was suddenly they found fresh water. And after realizing that the Israelis had this incredible water technology, the government of Iran under the leadership of the Shah gave Israeli companies carte blanche to redevelop and turn Ghazvin into an agricultural hub. And within 10 years, that's what happened. Ghazvin not only became the breadbasket for all of Iran to produce its own agricultural fruits and vegetables with Israeli drip irrigation technology, but they brought water technology to other areas of Iran that have been struck by drought. This really transformed the country, and by the late 1970s, Iran was producing so much agriculture that they were exporting to the rest of the Middle East. And that was because of Israeli technology and cooperation that they had going on. It was really a remarkable time period.
Carmel, and in those years, how important was the role of Iran's Jews? And of course, I'm talking before 1979, in helping to move forward peaceful relations between Iran and Israel.
They were critical. Iranian Jews had the best of both worlds. They were obviously Iranian nationals. They loved Iran. They lived in Iran for 2,700 plus years. But at the same time, they were Jews. And they had family, obviously biblical connections to Israel, religious connections to Israel. They loved Israel. They also loved Iran. So they were able to be the bridge between the two nations. And many Iranian entrepreneurs, business people, academics, helped to foster the relations between the two countries and business between the two countries. Let us not forget that the first skyscraper that was built in Tehran in 1962 was called the Plasko Building. The Plasko Building was designed by Israeli architects, and it was owned by the Iranian Jewish El Ghanian family. The El Ghanians were one of the major industrialists, successful industrialists in the redevelopment of Iran during the 20th century. And they brought a lot of Israeli technology and know-how to Iran, including the construction of the Plasko Building. It was a 17-story building, which back in 1962 in Iran was a skyscraper. Today it may not be something, you know, important because we've got massive skyscrapers, but in 1962, for Iran that was still on the cusp of development, that was remarkable. And Jews were involved with other reconstruction and development projects in Iran, in the agricultural sector, in infrastructure, in academia, even in entertainment. One of the most famous pop music producers in Iran was a gentleman by the name of Manoucher Bibian. Mr. Bibian brought popular music to Iran. He recorded hundreds of artists, and those Iranian artists not only performed in Iran, but they also performed in Israel.
Amazing.
He put on many, many concerts during the 60s and 1970s. So there was a lot of contributions that Iranian Jews made to the Iran-Israel relationship in the years prior to 1979.
Kamel, we're receiving a comment from one of our listeners, Anton, saying in the late 70s, the Shah asked Mossad to assassinate the Ayatollah. Israel decided that if they failed or succeeded, Israel would be in a very bad, would be in very bad trouble politically. Could have changed history for the better. Not sure if you want to comment on that.
The information about that supposed request about taking out the Ayatollah is really shady. We don't know if that was really made or not. There's a lot of rumors that it was made. I believe that eventually that information will be released. I don't have specific knowledge whether it was requested or not. What I do know is that Israel worked very closely with the Shah and the Shah's government to help Iran have security, stability, and peace. Iran was a very, very important partner to Israel in the Middle East during the 60s and 70s. So Israel would do anything and everything to maintain stability in that part of the world, because Iran was their major trading partner and also behind the scenes political friend and partner.
Kamel, unfortunately we're running out of time, but I want to squeeze in one last question. After the 1979 revolution, were all ties completely cut off, or did anything continue behind the scenes?
There was some activity during the Iran-Iraq war after the Khomeini regime took over Iran. It is well documented that Israel provided arms and weapons to Iran to be able to fight Saddam Hussein's invading Iraqi army. So there was some behind the scenes activity and trade. But subsequent to the war, Israel severed all activity and relations with Iran.
And that brings us up to where we are today. Carmel Melamed, an Iranian-American journalist based in Los Angeles, will just have to have you on again where we can chat further about the Cyrus Accords and whether or not they will have or could have as much impact as the Abraham Accords. Thank you so much for joining us on The Home Run.